raw sugar. From hair care to body wash to lotions and more. It's made with real ingredients for a raw clean that infuses your senses with raw joy. Made with cold-pressed extracts from clean, good-for-you ingredients, raw sugar refreshes your hair, body, and soul, lifting your spirit, boosting your energy, and making you feel like, well, your rawest self. Raw sugar. Available at your local Target.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Pitch. Swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Gone.
All right. Welcome back to the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. Alongside me is the still reigning NFBC main event champion of the world, Dylan White from the fighting city of Toronto, Canada. Dylan, have you gotten an MRI this week?
I have not. Luckily, I don't live in New York, so I have not.
Yeah, well, if you don't know what we're talking about, seemingly everybody in baseball, particularly in the state of New York, has had an MRI in the last week since we did news and notes. We have plenty of stuff to run through today. I'm not going to dilly-dally. Let's jump right into it, Dylan, because we don't have that much time. We don't have 7 hours to talk about all these injuries. First one. Biggest news, I think, in fantasy baseball at the moment. That is the fallout of a potential elbow injury for Gerrit Cole. We don't know to what the extent is now. We do know he's not going to be ready for opening day. And they sent him for an MRI. And I think everybody who rosters Gerrit Cole in any format in fantasy is sort of waiting with bated breath to hear the results of that MRI and how much potential time he could be out for, if not the season. What are your thoughts, Dylan? This is a shockwave right now.
It's huge. Obviously huge for the Yankees. Their starting rotation's kind of iffy right now. I mean, Carlos Rodon looks like he's bouncing back, but he had some like velo up and down in the spring. Nestor Cortez probably is back. Marcus Stroman then is kind of like next in line. Like, it's not exactly the strongest rotation. Obviously, Yankee Twitter is clamoring for Blake Snell or Jordan Montgomery or something. But yeah, it's not great for the Yankees. I think I heard second or third opinion he's going for, which never is good. In redraft leagues, like, he was a first round pick. And then when main event drafting starts, you know, pitching gets pushed up. So he's like definitely going to be, was going to be like a top 10 pick. And now I'm seeing the discourse saying that, you know, he may drop to the fifth round because of the uncertainty. If he's out for the year, you can't waste draft capital on Gerrit Cole and come out with a zero. Like, you might as well go Wheeler or Luis Castillo or like George Kirby, Logan Gilbert, even just get the innings, get the strikeouts, don't risk the zero. So depending on the outcome of this MRI and whether he bounces back, huge shockwaves.
Yeah, I'm like checking the couple of best ball teams I drafted like a month ago to see if I have Gerrit Cole on any of them. I was like, you know, I haven't checked that yet, and I probably should look and see if I'm rostering anywhere. Looks like the coast is clear. Only in my home league do I roster Gerrit Cole, which is probably the biggest problem that I could possibly have. It's a 12-team league. A guy like that is super valuable. It's head-to-head points, and it's very pitching slanted points. So, you know, you want to have three level pitchers of Gerrit Cole. I was trying to rebuild to that. I'm not there yet. I'm a little worried that it could potentially really tank my season. And the problem is with a guy like this, if he has Tommy John surgery, I'm holding him for a couple of years as a keeper that he might not really pitch. And I got to hope that he comes back full strength. And then I got to try to move him when he's another 2 years older. So it might be the end of my rope here, where like if I had traded him a week ago, I probably would have gotten a bounty. And now I'm staring down the barrel of, I had this with David Price. I had David Price. I acquired him. He was my ace, was good for a couple of years. And then it went south and never really came back. And, you know, to the point that it was just a drop one day. It was remarkable to think about the full circle. And that happens often with pitchers and fantasy sports. Like you see it all the time. I mean, look at what Clayton Kershaw was a few years ago to what he is now, right? Just in terms of the value. So it does happen overnight. I think at this point in Cole's career, it is a little bit scary. And he's had, you know, you don't want to say so much wear and tear, but he has handled a pretty large workload for a long time now. And it comes for everybody. It even came for Verlander. So he could still have a few good years left. It's just I'm assuming the worst right now, but hoping for the best. And I think that's kind of what most of fantasy baseball is sitting with right now. Any other thoughts on Cole, or do you want to move on to another injured Yankee?
We can move on to another injured Yankee. We have a lot of injuries to talk about. So
we do. The next one is Aaron Judge, because why wouldn't it be? Why wouldn't it be the other guy you'd be concerned about in terms of health coming into the season now that they've acquired Juan Soto and look as if they're, you know, potential contender for the World Series as we enter the year. Judge MRI, not as concerning as Cole, but it's not a great way to start out the season with this guy where we know that the only thing that's been in Aaron Judge's way has been these nagging injuries, soft tissue injuries, and things that he's dealt with over the years. And that's kept him off the field and limited his overall counting stat production for us fantasy folk. So what's your feeling on Judge? I do have to say that I am more weary of drafting Judge generally just in any format. Not that I dislike the player. I just think that there's a tremendous amount of risk that comes with him just because of his health record. So what are your thoughts on that, Dylan?
Yeah, I think so. There was talk that he was being underrated at the beginning of the draft season because people were kind of scared of his health because of the turf toe and how he didn't obviously put up the huge season that we had hoped after setting the record the year before. And then it kind of overswung where he was being taken like early in the first half of the first round. And it kind of overswung. And now I think it's just a reminder that he does have a preponderance for getting injured. So I think I've seen him drop to the second already from the first, middle of the second now, even with the MRI has come clean and him saying he's hopeful for opening day. There's still a discount now. But I think the Yankees have a reputation for downplaying their injuries, whether that's on purpose or not, whether that's ignorance or, you know, trying to manage expectations with the fan base. I don't know, but I think people are leery of the truthfulness of the diagnosis. So I can see people being worried. I think if he fell to me in the second in a redraft, I think I would still take a shot. I just like with Soto batting there with him, it's just like it's too juicy to have that middle of the lineup. And the idea, the prospect of 60 home runs always kind of there, just like on a per plate appearance basis when he's playing, it's so juicy. So I think I'd still take him in the second. I don't think I could let him go past me in the second, but definitely a reminder that he's fragile, quote unquote.
Yeah, that's always my concern. It's just typically where he's gone in drafts this year for me. There's been other players around that I just felt were better options, more reliable, though the per game output may not necessarily be as valuable. Get more games. That matters. It's like innings with pitchers. Speaking of injured pitchers, I think this is one of the other big things that happened over the course of the last week. Devin Williams' injury. He's seeking a second opinion as well. If I'm not mistaken, is it an elbow?
Spinal specialist or back specialist.
That's right. His back. Okay. We had so many injuries this week. You'll see as we continue to run down. I'm trying to keep them all straight. Not great news for Williams. Not great news for the Brewers, who I kind of felt like him and Adamas always sort of seemed like the perfect fit for what the Dodgers need. a shortstop that can hit a little bit, play some good defense, you know, another reliever, maybe a potential closer. They can use Evan Phillips as they please. That's not happening probably right now. Who steps in here? Because there's been a few names. I know the guy that I've attached myself to is Piamps. I grabbed him in Highlander. I grabbed him in Labor. I have him in a few other leagues. I just like him as a hold guy anyway. So I think I actually have him in my tout saves holds league as well. So I was always kind of banking on this and maybe there being a trade. I think he has the best stuff, the best option. But I know there are some other players that are in the mix here. So what are you hearing, Dylan? And who would you be buying right now in that bullpen?
I think the guy is Piamps. That's who I would take in a DC right now. There's talk of Abner Uribe.
I'm putting my knuckle through the screen and give him a fist bump because I'm excited. Like, thank you, Dylan. Keep going.
Tim McLeod and I, in our FYPD for our Dynasty League, we took Piamps in our last round as a flyer in case Devin Williams gets traded to the Dodgers or, unfortunately, if he gets injured. So we're happy to have Piamps on our team. So Abner Uribe is the other guy they're talking about. And then Trevor McGill, I think he's been taken as well in some DCs that I've been part of. I do think it's Piamps, though. Just like the strikeouts, and he's going to take a step forward, I think. I think Abner Uribe will as well, but I think that Piamps kind of is the guy you want the confidence in.
And he's got no options. He's got no minor league options. McGill, Uribe both do. I know that's not a huge thing. They're all on the 40-man roster. I just think that he's going to be the guy because he's the guy that's going to be probably most cross-controlled. So also has the most, I think, experience based on overall career innings. So nasty stuff too. I mean, it's, you know, nasty slider, fastball velocity is good. So, you know, he's definitely the guy that I would be buying as well. I'm glad that we're in lockstep there. and like I said, he's somebody that I had actually kind of with like a similar mentality to you and Tim. I had sort of targeted him all over for that reason. I thought that there was enough opportunity potentially in this bullpen for him to be solid and had, you know, a true standout secondary and the velocity and all the things that you obviously need to be a successful reliever in the major leagues. Any other thoughts on the Devin Williams fallout, or shall we move on to our next sad story of the week?
I think we can move on, but I think what's interesting is because Devin Williams has this back thing, David Bednar hasn't pitched in a while. He's got a lat thing. And Tanner Scott has been terrible in the spring training. I don't know how much to weigh the spring training stats, but he has like 8 walks in 2/3 of an inning or something ridiculous. And I'm in a DC right now, and we're in that sweet spot for where the closers go off the board. And it's very interesting. People are getting pushed up. If you don't have kind of like your closer one by the eighth round, you're kind of like hoping it's going to be Robert Suarez or Jose Leclerc or Craig Kimbrel, which is kind of the second tier in redraft. So this Devin Williams news does have an impact on how drafts go. And so if relievers go up, hitters go down, et cetera, et cetera.
For sure. It can have a lot of impact on dynasty leagues, especially deeper ones where you're not rostering that many closers. And if saves is a category, losing a guy like that can be pretty impactful. You're dropping pretty hard in those SGPs. If you know what I'm saying. So that being said, why don't we take a quick break right now, Dylan? And when we come back, we're going to talk some more bad news. What do you say?
Let's do it. I'll wipe my eyes and then we'll get ready for the next round.
Sounds good.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Why do I use Indeed for our hiring at Baseball America? Because it takes so much of the busy work out of hiring and does it for me. I can find highly qualified candidates in one place, set up interviews, and communicate with them all on Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualification and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So you use Indeed. As you use it more, the better it gets. And listeners to this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And we're back with more bad news. The first bad news we're going to throw out there, Darren, I got to ask before we even say it: how many teams did you roster Noelvi Marte on? Was it a few?
I have him on two teams right now.
I have him on one team. I have him in Highlander, in the Highlander draft. So like the picks that get thrown back that are good players, I took Adley in the first, and I took Noelvi in the second. I'm like, I'm coming out of here with guys who could potentially take a step forward. Be real keepers. You know, it's hard to get corner infield for me, especially in deeper leagues. I struggle when you have to fill corner infield, third base, first base, just not that many good third basemen. So Marte was a good piece for me. I was very sad, and I've been seeking out another corner infield option. We'll talk about who could potentially come up and help me out later and some other news and notes. But what are your thoughts here? You know, with the Marte news, it's, you know, obviously is suspended for PEDs. It was a steroid, 80 plus games. So we're not going to see him to the second half of the season. It is rather unprecedented for a position prospect to get suspended for PEDs. And it's really unusual for a well-known prospect to get suspended for steroids at this point. The other PED suspensions I could think of were like Forrest Whitley and like, it's all pitchers. It's stuff, you know, that was amphetamines. It's just a little different, you know, where this was something, you know, I don't know if he has been using or if he's used to get back from his hamstring injury. I know that's a lot of what you're hearing out there is if people were like his trainer or something that like no, we don't know that. He's always been a big, strong guy. I had heard some people say that like, oh, he got really big. He's always been bald, like, broad. It was always like the earlier he's moving off a shortstop to third. That was always what was being said. And seeing him like 2 years ago, it was like, this guy looks like a football player. So he's had that body for a while. You know, we don't know how long he's been using, you know, if he was microdosing and doubled up on a dose, something like that. I don't want to speculate. There's too much we could speculate on. But that being said, I'm a little more wishy-washy. I am very uneasy about his future now. The skills are there. The power is there. We've seen plenty of guys that get suspended for PEDs come back and be awesome. Nelson Cruz had a long career. But it when it's a prospect and it's somebody who really hasn't established themselves as a major leaguer, it does make me a little bit more uneasy. I don't know how you feel about that or not. It certainly opens up things for CES, and we can talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, I think those concerns are warranted. I mean, the Reds front office did say the things that they would say. You know, they're behind him. He's going to learn from this mistake, and we have full confidence in him moving forward. That sort of thing. If you take that at face value, I think you know that's it's fine. Just a blip in the road. It's half a season. It's not the end of the world. It does free up all the logjam and controversy of who's going to actually get playing time for the Reds. I don't think it's going to. Like, I'm not trying to unload Noel V on any of my teams.
No.
I'm still holding him. He's still going to be, you know, a power speed threat 2020 type of guy on a good team, good lineup, good ballpark. So I'm still holding, and I'm really just like waiting the 3 months before he's back type of thing. I'm not panic at all. Sure. I guess I'm taking the optimistic side, saying like his performance and all that was not reliant on the steroids. It only enhanced his performance. I don't think he's going to turn into a pile of dust now. But maybe that's wrong. Maybe I'm being too optimistic.
I don't know. I mean, I think it wasn't a question coming into the year. I think it was like, this guy's got the underlying power. He's always had the skills, the bat to ball ability. Like, I didn't think he was going to run big strikeout rates. Anything like that. I didn't think he was going to embarrass himself. And I thought there was a lot of upside once he made the adjustments. It just calls into question just some of the physical tools and things like that. Were they, you know, as good as we thought they were? You know, and we can't be certain until he comes back. And, you know, the other part of it is he has used, and it's not like it's going to just evaporate from the system. He's going to yield those benefits regardless. So the fallout there, I think, is easy. You know, Christian Encarnacion Strand easily has a place to play every day. His value goes up tremendously, particularly in like NL-only leagues. If my labor draft had, if I had only been prescient and had the information that Noel V. Marte was about to get suspended, I would have bid out the house on Encarnacion Strand, you know? But yeah, so that's one of those where I think he gets a big bump in redraft. And if you roster him in Dynasty, congratulations. He's somebody that's probably going to contribute quite a bit this season. Not great in OBP leagues, but I think we both agree that the bat to ball skills and the power are very good. So your standard 5x5, you could be a pretty good player, especially in that ballpark, as you mentioned with Marte.
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely. He's just, his per plate appearance power is just so great that he's, you know, like a 10th, 11th round and redraft guy. And if he's that at the age of 20, whatever he is, 23, he's obviously a dynasty asset. I'm not to put my tinfoil hat on, but when the Reds signed Jaime Candelario, there was talk like, why would they sign a third baseman? They have so many third base options. Do you think they knew something that, you know, precipitated that move? I don't know. Just throwing it out there. Maybe I shouldn't have.
That was very tinfoil hat-ish. But I'll just leave it out there for the people to decide. I don't think they knew. I don't think they knew that far in advance. And if they did, you know, how dare they not tell all of us so we can draft appropriately. All right, let's move on to our next bad news of the week. Taj Bradley was supposed to start today, was scratched for Erasmo Ramirez, who, by the way, seems to always be the guy that replaces you when you get scratched, regardless of what team you pitch for. So I'd like to, from here on out, anytime a pitcher is scratched and replaced, he's been Erasmo'd. So Taj Bradley was Erasmo'd today due to pectoral tightness, and he is having an MRI, had an MRI, I'm unsure on that. But not great for the Rays. They can't deal with any more pitching injuries here. What are your thoughts on Taj Bradley for this season? Were you in as like a sleeper potentially in redraft or a buy back or buy low kind of in dynasty? Sort of where were you at for the season on Taj Bradley?
He was a target for me. He's kind of going in the 16th, and he's value for me there. In kind of like the Kenta Maeda, Yusei Kikuchi, Nestor Cortez round.
Sure.
Taj Bradley with the upside is kind of the guy I was targeting. It'd be Maeda if I wanted safety, Taj Bradley if I wanted the upside. So I think maybe they talked about Shane Baz starting in the minors. Maybe he comes up earlier. We all know they're missing McClanahan and Springs and Rasmussen. So maybe that opens the door for Mason Montgomery, Jacob Lopez. Not really sure what other options they have in the upper levels, but yeah, it's too bad for Taj. I mean, these pecs and like lats and obliques are always kind of nagging, I find, for pitchers. So it's not great. I mean, I guess it's probably better than a shoulder or an elbow, but Yeah, I mean, these are the ones that kind of seem to last a lot. You think it's going to be like, oh, it's just going to be 2-3 weeks, and then he's got to build up, and he has a setback, and then it's like 8 to 10 weeks. I'm in no way predicting that it's 8 to 10 weeks, but there's a definite path to this being not great for Taj Bradley. So definitely disappointing. I still like his future. I still think he's going to be a very good major leaguer and a good major league pitcher. So he's still a good dynasty asset. And maybe you have an opportunity to buy low if someone's scared. If someone was relying on Taj Bradley being, you know, maybe their SP3 or SP4, and now they're kind of worried about it, maybe you can trade a Kenta Maeda plus something for Taj Bradley, maybe.
Interesting. There you go. Some advice on how to swoop in. All right, we got another MRI. That was for Edward Cabrera of the Marlins. It's a right shoulder impingement. So that opens up a lot of space that's already been kind of opening in the Marlins rotation. They're strong up top with Lizardo. Of course, Yuri behind them. AJ Puck has now emerged as part of the rotation. I don't even think it's a question at this point. Of course, Trevor Rogers. It looks like it might be Ryan Weathers. Sixto Sanchez is not in the picture. I'm sorry. And Max Meyer has already been optioned to minor league camp. So that kind of leaves Ryan Weathers. This could potentially be a rotation with four left-handers and the only righty being Yuri Perez. Thoughts on Cabrera, thoughts on this situation. I feel as if just myself, I'll throw this out there so I can editorialize for a moment on it with Cabrera. I've always bought in, man, on the stuff. And he shows flashes where you want to believe. But he was a guy this year in like NL labor. I literally wrote down, you can't buy Edward Cabrera. And I bid on him and I got close and I did not push myself up. Somebody outbid me for him. Thank God. So he's not on my roster. But dude, I can't quit Edward Cabrera because the stuff is just so electric, but he's just never healthy.
Yeah, he's never healthy. He has command concerns. We traded him, Tim and I, this is the Tim McLeod and Dylan White Dynasty team show. We traded him last year for a first rounder. And I'm not regretting it just cause he hasn't been able to kind of get it together. The stuff is electric, throws 100, great change up. It's the health. It's the command. I was not in this year. You forgot Braxton Garrett too, who's going to miss a couple of weeks, but he should be back. Another lefty.
Oh, that's right. I did space on Braxton Garrett. My apologies.
I like Weathers this year. He's just killing it in spring training. I think Max Meyer may be up then, because if Edward Cabrera has a shoulder impingement, like he said, he's had shoulder issues in the past. Max Meyer may be up sooner rather than later. So yeah, awesome. I don't know. Yeah.
Right now, like I said, Lizardo, Yuri, Puck, Rogers, and then Weathers is sort of sliding as the fifth guy. Until Braxton Garrett is ready to roll. But he's got shoulder soreness too. It's been since February. Anytime I hear shoulder, I'm worried.
Yeah. And so I'm staying away from Cabrera. I don't think I'm going to trade for him in a dynasty league right now. No. I may regret it, but yeah, it's just too many red flags for me that it's just not worth the hassle.
Yeah. And then we had Gavin Williams and his injury. He's dealing with a sore elbow. I don't know what the level of concern is on this injury. I know that he apparently had an awkward throw during his weighted ball routine, which then tipped off the people online who think weighted balls were the reason for the Vietnam War, and everything else bad that's happened since then. So we got a lot of anti-weighted ball propaganda after that. Which, you know, I think there's some good and some bad there. That's a 90th percentile discussion and probably not a discussion for the fantasy show. I'm not all that concerned. Like, it's discomfort. He's had injuries before. They're keeping it. They're just being safe, I think, with this one. I'm not panicking. Where are you at on this one?
Yeah, I don't have Gavin Williams anywhere, so I've just kind of been watching from the side with great interest. I think I've been scarred by all these injuries, so I'm fearing the worst. But I think you're probably right. It's just discomfort. But I did hear that it was weighted balls that got Kate Middleton. So the weighted balls are.
Yeah, it was actually, yes, it was Kate Middleton actually had to have abdominal surgery because she was she was going so hard with the weighted balls in her workouts. She's got to keep it tight, you know. Yes, very, very interesting. That's just another one of these injuries, Dylan. We've had so many over the last week. Any potential fallout there, you think, in terms of rotation spots or anything? I'm just not certain on. We have enough time that he may be ready for opening day. I don't know if there's any of that concern at this point. I know he's still penciled in sort of the rotation, etc.
Yeah, I think he's gonna pitch at least 140 innings this year. I think that's my prediction. But the Guardians staff's pretty interesting because Bieber seems to have kind of gotten some velo back. He went to drive on the offseason. Tristan McKenzie, he's gonna have a full season, and I have high hopes for him. I think he'll bounce back, and he was lights out for a while.
He was.
So hopefully he'll be back. Tanner Bibee, of course. So they have a pretty interesting staff, and so like they're not counting on Gavin Williams to be the ace. So they can slow play it and bring him back at the right pace.
All right, let's move on to some bad news and some good news. So bad news here: Lars Nootbaar has fractured ribs, and Tommy Edman is still dealing with the effects of his off-season arthroscopic wrist surgery, if I'm not mistaken. Boom, I nailed that one. That means that it's opening up time for everybody's favorite runner, Victor Scott, potentially in center field. I think there is a real shot, Dylan, that Victor Scott breaks camp as their everyday center fielder. He's been hitting leadoff the last few games. He's been out there. He's looked good, had three hits today. Bunted for a hit off Brian Baio and then got on immediately and stole a base. And I'm like, that's what we need from Victor Scott. If this guy breaks camp and is their everyday center fielder, I think there's a chance that he could hold this job and not relinquish it. He's just such a good defensive center fielder. And I think offensively he does enough to get on base and move runners along. Obviously is a major threat, could be the best base runner in baseball. I'm really interested to see what happens here. I don't know if it's 100%. You know, there are some other options, obviously, on the 40-man roster, one being Dylan Carlson. I just think you're getting such a more dynamic player at this point from Scott than Carlson. But I don't know. What are your thoughts in terms of how this shakes out and who ends up with the opportunity?
I think they're trying him out. I think that they're playing him every day. I think they want to give him every opportunity to make the team. That's just my sense. I think it would be super electrifying. He steals any chance he gets. Like you said, he's got elite center field defense. He brings back, the late or mid 80s. I don't know when. Cardinals with Vince Coleman.
Oh, yeah, mid-80s, baby.
Willie McGee, Ozzie Smith, like that whole crew.
Yeah.
Speed can't Whitey slump. Ball. Whitey Herzog, exactly. Speed can't go into a slump. Just kind of reinvigorate the fan base with that. I think he'd be electrifying. And if he struggled, it doesn't matter because they've got Goldschmidt, they've got Arenado, they've got Gorman, they've got all sorts of bats. So he's not being counted on, doesn't have the pressure necessarily to perform. He'd probably bat ninth, probably wouldn't lead off.
Yeah.
And, you kind of protect him from that and let him grow into the role. I really hope he makes the team. I mean, I think it's basically Esteury Ruiz with maybe more upside.
I think he is. I think he's a better player. I think he's a better hitter than Ruiz is.
Yeah. And that's like an eighth round pick. So Victor Scott is basically an eighth round pick, and you can gamble in a DC if you're in a draft right now and maybe get him in the later rounds.
And I look at, I'll say this, like you said, hit ninth. Take a look at this Cardinals order outside of, Nootbaar, who's injured. You're looking at like leadoff options is like Brendan Donovan, Wynn, Carlson, Walker, Burleson. I don't think they'll hit Goldie, Gorman, Arenado, or Contreras there. So it's either him or Donovan, so I think it's interesting, to see how that could potentially shake out, because like if Donovan dropped down to their six hitter, I don't think that's bad. And I could see Scott leaving off because he's a solid on base guy. He doesn't strike out much, a lot of contact. Plus you have that speed at the top of the lineup. He's really, really interesting. So we'll see what happens. But it's one of those, like I said, good news and bad news thing, because we like Lars Nootbaar. Of course, we want him to be healthy. But if it opens up opportunity for Scott, he is a dynamic player and somebody that could be a one category winner. And I think he probably will help you quite a bit in multiple categories in terms of runs and batting average without, you know, it's not gonna be a ton of home runs, but like, it's not gonna be like two. I think you could hit like 8, 9, 10, you know, maybe even grow into more over time. This is less of an interesting note, but something I want to throw out there and discuss with you. Mookie moving to shortstop, so he gets even more eligibility. Some of that eligibility, depending upon where you play, he had already, in your rules in your league, he had already carried some shortstop eligibility in some leagues. He's going to keep it. You know, this guy is just so dynamic. The fact that he's an older player and is now moving to a more challenging defensive position also kind of speaks to some of the concerns the Dodgers have defensively. They are a great lineup. I think there's still plenty of pitching talent. It's a good bullpen. But their fatal flaw is they are not a great defensive team. And I think they're hoping that Mookie can at least provide average defense and be sort of a steadying option while taking some pressure off of the throws that Gavin Lux has to make from shortstop, which he is not making great throws at second base either, to be quite frank with you. That's a major concern with Lux still. And I think it could potentially cost him a job. So we'll see, because I don't think this is a long-term thing. I think Mookie ends up moving to second base, and I think they end up trading for a shortstop. They have the ponies to go and trade for one, right? I mean, they still have a deep system, still have plenty of prospects. They can go out and get a player like that. So I don't know what your thoughts are on the Mookie move to shortstop. I think it's interesting from an eligibility standpoint. Should probably play enough games to carry the eligibility for another year. But I do think he's going to see a majority of his time at second base this year, because I do think a move will probably be made at some point.
I think it's huge. I think it's good. We had Mookie Betts in our main event, a winning team. And the fact that he had the three positions was fantastic. We could just move him in and out and always kind of field our best hitting lineup. Right now in NFBC, he only has second at outfield, so he'll get that shortstop. So the three position eligibility is huge. I would take him in the first five picks in a main event, I think. Six picks, maybe. Just because of that, because it just opens up so much flexibility in the draft, so much flexibility in season. He may not stick a short the entire year, but he'll get the games to get the eligibility. I just feel bad for Lux. It's just he had the whole knee thing last year, and then he comes back and now like maybe has the yips and just like the magnifying glasses on.
He's had throwing problems dating back before the injury, though, if you remember. That's been a thing with Lux. It reminds me of Chuck Knobloch, who was like just such an excellent contact hitter, you know, got, and just, it was great with those Twins teams as a young player when he won a World Series, I think as a rookie. They went to New York and kind of like melted, just like couldn't throw to first base any longer and like more or less tanked his career. So this is scary. Like you hate to see something like this, because where are you going to end up? You know, like you're going to end up in left field or something. You know, I don't think so. So, this is the kind of thing that could really, it's funny because it's not hitting. It's not typically what kills a guy's career, right? Or like just bad glove work. It's, you can't throw two bases in the infield. And it's, that's a tough one. So we'll see where that shakes out to. All right. We've gone through all the bad news. Last bad news, Nate Lowe out with an oblique injury. More of these obliques. I teased this earlier. Justin Foscue is the guy that's going to slide in and be my hero for Noelvi Marte. Fact or fiction, Dylan? What do you say?
He'll definitely slide in. He'll definitely perform, I think. We like his underlying. He's always just been like a great bat. There's no position, but now like they've been playing him at first, and this Nate Lowe thing just really opens it up perfectly for him. I like the bat. I don't know how long if he hits. If he does well during Nate Lowe's absence, they will find a place for him, I think. But the Rangers, that lineup is stacked as we know. We assume Langford's going to make the team out of opening day. So Langford, Carter, Adolis, Tavares in the outfield. So Foscue can't really go to left field. Josh Young's a bit behind. So maybe goes to third. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's first base. I think he gets time.
It's gotta be
base. Maybe some DH, but like.
But with those outfielders.
Lowe would have to be out for a while. Maybe you get a month or so and you see what he can do at the big leagues and they try to figure it out. They have another guy like that in Duran who's, you know, obviously can hit a little bit. Has played a bunch of different positions. So, yeah, I just thought it was interesting to throw it out there. Jared Walsh is also in camp and he's lurking. I think he's been hit in the spring too. He worries me a little bit that it's going to be like Jared Walsh is going to be the guy that breaks camp as their first baseman. And they're going to like send Foskey back to AAA to like rake and learn how to play first or something. I don't know. So I'm just trying to be negative here, but I shouldn't be. Anything else that's gone on over the last couple of weeks you want to chat about? I know you did a DC draft. I'm not going to bore people with my labor or tout league review.
No, not really. I just, do you think, are there more injuries right now than in seasons past? It definitely feels like it, but I don't know if the numbers back it up, but it really feels like, or at least significant, potentially significant injuries.
It felt like the last 3 days were significant. I don't know if overall in spring it was as significant or if we're just getting some later injuries or things that are coming out a little bit clearer now because the season starts a little earlier than it typically does in March. So maybe some of those injuries that they hold out hope for kind of, you know, I don't think so. I kind of feel like there's always a rash of injuries during spring training. Guys are ramping up, injuries happen, you know, they're doing things they haven't done in a while. You know, even the best shaped guys can tweak something. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily different. It's one of those things that I don't want to say that it is because it's just going off of vibes and feel, and it's not actually anything that's like tangible and like tracked. We're like, hey, there's 40 injuries right now. There's this many now. So, no, I haven't been ravaged on too many teams by injury either, despite all these. So. Maybe that's why I'm feeling a little bit better about it, Dylan. I don't know. That's a tough question. I think every year there's just, you can just count on a handful of pitching injuries at this point in camp, you know, to develop. And we haven't seen the end of it. There's going to be a few more over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about Gausman, I think, last week, and like he still hasn't pitched really since then. And they're saying Berríos is going to be opening day starter and Gausman should be the fourth starter. But like, I don't know, like they seem kind of cagey with that. So I'm a bit worried about him. What one thing we didn't talk about was Jackson Merrill making the opening
That's
day
right.
roster
there
for
you
the
go.
Padres.
That because we that was after that broke after we came up with the notes. Yeah. Jackson Merrill breaks camp with the Padres. He's going to Korea. He's really hit. He hit his second home run of the spring today. Just overall has really performed offensively. He's looked good in center field. Now they do have that complete team of former shortstops. And I guess if Brett Sullivan starts some games for them and catcher, then they would actually have 9 former shortstops. Unfortunately, Austin Nola was a former shortstop as well, no longer with the club. They could have made it happen. I think that's really interesting. I think Merrill sneaky kind of could be like a dark horse. You want to think longer odds, obviously Yamamoto is the favorite. Longer odds, I think he kind of steps in as my dark horse NL Rookie of the Year candidate. You know, if you're somebody that likes to do some betting, that might be a good bet. I have no idea what the odds are. I can't bet on baseball, so I don't. And but that's one that's kind of like, I don't know, like he could see enough at bats, not a bad lineup. He's a very polished hitter. I think he's somebody that we always thought like the power is going to come to. And we've seen a little bit of that pop this spring. So he brings it. He gets 600 at bats, plate appearances. Maybe Yamamoto gets an injury. Possible. I'm just saying Jackson Merrill, you know, dark horse NL Cy Young candidate. He's a guy that I think I definitely would have been more aggressive in targeting and labor had I known it was definitely going to break camp. So that's a good one, Dylan.
He's shortstop eligible, but then he's playing the outfield. So that's going to be an interesting kind of dual eligibility. He'll have shortstop and outfield.
Will he hold the shortstop eligibility though?
No, but he's eligible right now. He's if you're in the NFBC. Yeah. So he comes in with the shortstop and then he gains the outfield. So
he just, it's like he goes into his cocoon as a moth and then comes out as a beautiful butterfly.
Exactly.
Or a caterpillar and becomes a beautiful butterfly. However that works. Dylan, why don't we wrap this sucker up? 40 minutes in, lots of news and notes. We're going to have another stock watch for you and probably some slight tweaks and updates to the Dynasty as well as the redraft rankings and get to those at the end of the week. Plus, I'm going to be out at some spring breakout series. I'm going to see the Skeens versus Holiday in like the opening spring breakout game. And then I'll be there for Phillies versus Tigers, which should also be a lot of fun. So I'll be reporting live from there. And then we talk next week. I'm going to be in sunny Florida, Dylan. So I'll have no winter hat on. The only difference.
There you go.
All right, people. Thanks for tuning in. And as always, this has been the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast.